Say, it's very good to see each and every one of you, and glad to see some that have been away for some time. Definitely good to see you, and glad you're here and able to be here. And this morning's lesson, for those of you that are taking down a title, it's not this year, you know, what's right there. It's Staying Faithful in 2021. That's the title, Staying Faithful in 2021. But you know, we're making this transition. And I started working on this lesson 2 weeks ago, and I got about three or four slides in, and then Brother James led a prayer, and part of that prayer shifted my train of thought on how I was going to present it. And needless to say, when James got up Wednesday night and started his short talk, I'm like, he's going to teach my lesson, but he went one direction, and I'm going a little different direction. But I really enjoyed your prayer and that short talk, Brother James, both of them. But thinking about 2020 and 2021, I found this picture. And you know, I think I was telling Deanna that I think I heard more fireworks go off this New Year's time frame than I ever have, ever. Maybe it's I'm just in a different location and those people are firework crazy compared to where I was. I don't know, could be, but a lot of fireworks. I'm talking about like 9 o'clock, 2 days prior to the first, all the way through last night, still shooting them off. I mean, it's been nonstop. Our poor dogs are a mess. But a lot of people, I think, have got it in their mind from 2020 to 2021 that just clicking over to that new year, that we put 2020 behind us, 2021 is just going to be wonderful. We just clicked that switch and everything's getting better. I'm a little skeptical on that myself, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But you know, I want to start with 2020 and staying faithful. You know, coming through last year, you know, needless to say, a lot of challenges. No doubt, a lot of challenges. First time in my life, Christian or life period, first time in my life that I've really had to choose or even really think about having to choose between the law of the land and the Lord. I mean, I've never really had to worry about even that choice. You know, the ideal of, you know, conflict, you know, the law, don't assemble. You know, I mean, we were extremely blessed here in Columbia County that we never did have a true legal thing, like they would come, drag you down, shut the door, arrest the preacher that's holding the lesson because of it. But a lot of places did. And, you know, and I have to say that it crossed my mind quite often, you know, what will I do, you know, if they give us that ultimatum? You know, and I've made the decision automatically that, yeah, I'm going to come preach and then I'll just go to jail for it because I'm not going to back down because of the law. You know, but that there was that choice, you know, and it was hard to say, I'm going to stay faithful no matter what they put up. But even the places that started lightening up and letting groups assemble, even in smaller groups, there's a lot of places that wouldn't allow singing. Even though singing is a commandment by God when we come together to worship to sing. You know, and again, it's the same thing, you know, if they were going to put that on us, I was going to sing. You know, it was going to happen. You know, and like I said, you know, there was always that possibility of arrest for just being faithful. But not only those kind of challenges, you know, those things that on the legal side of things, but you know, we did have the virus. I mean, that's what, you know, was the point of it to begin with, is that there was a very serious virus. And, you know, and it's still there, it's still going on, you know. But there's a lot of concerns with that virus, you know. You got your health initially, just your health. All right, I don't want to get the virus. I don't, even if it's the lighter strain, you know, nobody wanted the virus. And definitely if you get it and it puts you in the hospital, possibly takes your life, nobody wanted the virus. So you got health concerns and you're trying to balance, okay, well, you know, even if I push the legal side of things out of the way, do I still want to put myself in a position where I may get sick? All right, just health. You know, so yeah, you know, being faithful, making that choice. I've never had to worry about that. You look through history and there are quite a few times in history where that has been, you know, a possibility. health compared to services, and people's had to make the choices. The laws, you know, like I said, even over health issues, the laws. Peer pressure, you know, there's a lot of peer pressure. There's, you know, preachers and the different ones that called me up throughout the year, especially at the beginning, saying, what are you doing? What are y'all going to do there? What's your thoughts on this? You know, or send me emails and write, you know, my opinion on things. And then they're saying, well, you know, so-and-so or this group or these, they're, you know, they're doing this, and I think that's what we're going to do. And there was a lot of peer pressure. And I mean, I'm just thinking me as a preacher even, a lot of peer pressure on what to do when it comes to being faithful and making the choices. And not only that, but you got family, you got friends, you've got co-workers. There's a lot of peer pressure from them. I can't believe that y'all are still attending. I can't believe that you're still going. You know, like, you know, I've got a lot of teachers. You know, there's over 50 or so just in geometry that I deal with all the time. And that's what a lot of them said. You know, I'm like, yeah, we're still going. And they're like, really? We shut down completely. We've been shut down for months. And they're like, I said, we never shut down. They're like, I can't believe that you're still attending. And that brings to the next point of hatred. There's a lot of hatred. There was a tremendous amount of hatred on Facebook, the news, everything else. Hatred, you know, toward those that would continue to go to services. You must hate your neighbor. You don't have love for anybody because you're getting out and going. But not even just to church, but going to the grocery store. People hate you for leaving your house to go to the grocery store. There was all kinds of hatred that was being poured out, you know, over this virus. And then you know, we also have love. You know, you really do love, you know, your family. So do you want to get out and bring it back to your family? You know, you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you want to get everybody together and take and have the possibility of everybody catching the virus? So, you know, that was a factor in making choices on staying faithful. You know, and in the long run, 2020 is over. And, you know, we each had to decide what was best for us. And I think we did really good here at Lakeview. We had to shorten some things. We've had to get rid of some things. Things are still not fully back. But we made the right choices. I truly believe we did, you know. We continued to worship. We did not cut back on what we knew were mandatory services and mandatory things that the Lord commanded us. And you know what? We come out on the better side of it. We've had a few that's got sick. We've had some scares. We've had some worries. But in the long run, we're still right here. And I think the Lord's pleased with us in our effort that we did on that. I have to say, though, you know, even looking historically, that this kind of decision making and choices and challenges, that 2020 could be just a taste of what's still to come. And we need to realize that. You know, just the way things progress in history. You know, a lot of people want to get rid of things that happened in the past. Let's don't bring it up. Let's don't have it in front of us. Let's don't have a memorial to remember these things. There's a big problem with that. My history teacher, I had her for American history, and I also had her for world history in high school. And one of the first things that she would tell you was that if you didn't learn it, you were going to repeat it. And I mean, that was her point. Like, why do we need to know this? That's been gone so long ago. And you know, students, we always throw that stupid stuff out. Like, why do we need math, right? Everybody needs math. You know, we just say we don't need math. All right, but, you know, you throw that out at your history teacher. Why do we need to learn all this? And she would say, it's so we don't repeat it. So if you look back in history and you see some of the same things happening, you can see repeats over and over of things that happened. We could just have a little taste of what's still to come. There could still be a lot of hardships even in this next year. So that's where I want to start with this lesson. It's 2021 and staying faithful. All right, we fought hard last year, but what are we doing from this point forward? And that's what I want us to make sure that we're going, you know, to think on. Same point I made on 2020. Needless to say, I think we got a lot of challenges. We got a lot of challenges still to come. Don't let us kid ourselves on that. We all face challenges, no matter what they are. But, you know, I think we still got quite a bit. We still may have to choose between the law and the Lord. You know, I don't doubt that still may not be an issue. The virus isn't gone. It's not. It's still here. The numbers are on the rise. It may topple back down here after the holiday season and people start going back and getting into a routine and staying away. But, you know, health is still at stake. I mean, look at how many we got out today that's quarantined themselves and worried about sickness and stuff. It's still a big thing. You know, lawmakers are changing hands and many still want a full lockdown, you know, still to come up. And it could be one of those mandatory lockdowns where they could try to arrest us. That's not out of the question yet. It could happen if we get shut down for a good month or something and they don't want you to meet at all. That's 4, 5, 6 Sundays. We're going to have to deal with that. And we're going to have to make those choices. It could still come. You know, sort of question, you know, do we have more faith coming out of 2020? Having faced those issues, having faced those problems, having made those decisions and seen how those decisions came about? Do we have more faith in being obedient? Or are we going to falter this year if these things, you know, come back up? You know, what's your thoughts? I know how people think. You know, I've had a lot of students, you know, and the same thought process for any part of life, you know, falls in place with other parts of your life. You know, sometimes students will hit a hard spot in math, and they'll fight their way through it, and they're really happy and excited about that, and then they hit another hard spot, and they'll just say, I don't know if I'm up to dealing with that now. You know, that was so hard, I don't know if I'm up to dealing with it. I think I'll just quit. And you got to talk them through that. You know, could that be 2021? All right, yeah, we fought that last year, and I was so upset and so emotional, and it was such a roller coaster ride. Do I want to go through that again this year, or can I just stop? Can I just quit? Can I just say I'm done with even worrying about that? Are we going to take and grow from what we endured last year? Or are we going to falter this year? So I want to say, how do we stay faithful? I want to focus on that. How do we stay faithful? And this is what I got from Brother James's prayer. One of the things that he was making a point of in that prayer was by letting God be our rock and our fortress. And I actually think that those were the words he used in that prayer. If not, I'm sorry, James, misquote you a little bit on that. But that was the point that you were getting across within that prayer, was that, you know, we need to rely on God. Let God be our rock, our fortress. And there's some passages that go along with this. 2 Samuel 22 and 2, 2 and 3. Here it says, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. And I put these words in red. I've got some of these words highlighted in these passages for us. But no, notice, you know, it says my rock, fortress, deliverer, rock, shield, salvation, high tower, refuge, savior. You know, all of these are for protection, defense, stability, peace. I mean, that's what some of these are for, like the high tower. The high tower was usually like on one corner of like one of the main outside walls, and it was just really high, and they put people up there to watch. That way you could see the enemies coming from a long way. They might even take and have a single tower up on a really high point within the kingdom so they could see armies and stuff coming from a long way. And it was a peace of mind. You know, yeah, that one fort, you know, little fortress area may not protect the whole kingdom, but it gives you a peace of mind that somebody's looking, somebody's watching for me. You know, and then you got refuge. You know, when you'd have these kingdoms, they would make these refuge, even within the walled cities. You'd have the outside walls, but then a lot of times you would have this inner part that was very fortified. You know, and here, that's what it's saying, you know, the Lord is my refuge. He is my inner protection. You know, and you got shield, you got fortress, you got the ideal of the rock. You know, the rock is talked about in the Old Testament, it's talked about in the New Testament. The ideal of a foundation, something solid to be built on, to stand on, to be firm, so you don't falter, so you don't fall, so you don't stumble. It's solid, it's rigid. So yeah, you know how we stay faithful? We take and let God be that rock. We let God, you know, watch out for us. We let him compass us as a shield. We take and go into his refuge. During the hardest times, no matter what they are, we should desire this level of protection. Not, okay, you know, and this is a big one right now, you know, and everybody's got their own thoughts on it, but the hope of America at whole seems to be on a vaccine. I mean, that's like, you know, we're going to make it in 2021. Why? Because we got vaccines coming out. It's coming into our country. We got vaccines. We're going to make it. But I'd rather rely on something much more you know, protective than a man-made vaccine to counter a man-made virus. I'd rather take and depend on God. Yeah, the, you know, vaccine will be great. If it can keep people from getting sick, that'll be wonderful. You know, but I mean, so much of mankind's hope in America is over a vaccine right now. If we can just get the vaccine, we'll be all right. Or how about the little stimulus check? You know, I think, you know, people are getting all that in their banking account right now. Think about how much hope and relief people feel when the government gives you a check, even if it's a little amount of money. You still get a little boost, right? You feel like, okay, somebody's watching out for me. But, you know, that the words that are used here are more than just a little bit of money. You know, pay a couple car payments or something. You know, it's a little more than just, you know, keep you from getting one type of sickness. Think about that. That's really all that vaccine's going to do. It's one type. How about swine flu, avian flu? How about the regular flus, A, B, C, D? I think there's an E, maybe an F. How about the rest of those that could kill you? You know what I mean? But think about the whole way everybody's thinking and they're writing about these things. They're like focusing on such little tiny bits of protection. It's like, okay, I've got my buckler on this arm, my sword in this hand, and I'm good to go. But the writer here is saying, okay, I've got those, but then I've got this refuge, I've got this wall, I've got this high tower, I've got that in God. Let us focus on letting God be our rock and our fortress. Now, another passage going with this, Psalms 18, 1 through 5. Psalms 18, 1 through 5. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. So see, same kind of language. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler like a little shield, the horn of my salvation and my high tower. So very, very similar, right? I will call. Notice it's my part. You know, this is my part. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. But notice he says, I understand what God is. And it's up to me to rely on him. But also, I want you to pick out and then like, you know, four, you know, three, four, and five, I put in red, the different types of problems and the severity of those problems. Notice, you know, like the ideal of enemies, the ideal of sorrows about death, you know, I mean, we could talk about those that are fighting against us to worship properly. We could talk about the, you know, the health issues. We could talk about violence and hatred that's in our country. You know, we got ungodly men that make you afraid. You're worried about these gangs and you know, crowds that are destroying things all this last year. And then just look, though, the author's writing all these things and how the sorrows, you know, he's compassed. He feels like he's overwhelmed or surrounded by these sorrows. And like the snares of death, like something is going to take his life. But it goes right back up to the beginning. It doesn't matter how severe the problems are. Doesn't matter how many or the variety of the problems you have in your life and you're dealing with or may face. If you go back and depend upon the Lord, let him be your strength. Let him be your rock, your fortress, your deliverer. Let him take care of that. But also understand you need to be, you're doing your part. Notice, I will call upon the Lord because he's worthy to be praised. And that leads me to my next point, Deuteronomy 32 and 4. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. Again, the same kind of language we're starting off with. He is the rock. You know, that ideal of a foundation for me to build off of. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity or wrong, just and right is he. Deuteronomy 32 and 4. So the ideal of us depending on him and letting him do it, if nothing else, he's perfect. I know I am so far from being perfect. I know our government is so far from being perfect. Our doctors and healthcare, you know, institutions are so far from being perfect. God is perfect. Why would we want to trust in anything or anyone else? Everything else is imperfect. He is also truth and without fault. Every one of us know that when we turn the TV on, we're lied to. We all know that. Turn the radio on, you're being lied to. We know this. Every one of us knows this. You know, you talk to other people, you're being lied to. You go to social media, you're being lied to. You know, people make up stuff all the time, but God does not. He is truth. He's without sin. He's without fault. So when he's saying that he will protect us, he will take care of us, if we take and abide in him, then he's going to do it. And if he tells us, this is what I command you to be faithful, then he commands us to be faithful. His guidance alone should be our focus for staying faithful this year. Just thinking, okay, I know that these things are out of my hands. I need help. God is our help. God is our guidance. God is our rock. God is our foundation. If nothing else of staying faithful is just to have a perfect counselor to guide us in all things. Deuteronomy 32, verses 16 through 18. This is one of those things, I think, that gets between us and being faithful. Deuteronomy 32, 16 through 18. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they to him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. All right, now we understand talking about the children of Israel and them coming over and the gods of the Canaanites and different things. And that's what it's talking about. And how God says, you know, you shall love the Lord thy God, none other. Don't worship any other. Don't follow after any other. And here they are. And it's provoked God's jealousy and he's upset. But when we start thinking about our own lives and things that pop up, think about all the new things in 2020 that sort of popped up. Things that we attach ourselves to, whether it's attach worry to, attach affection to, whatever. But a lot of these things, these newly important things that pop up, they really can become our little g gods. And we can start putting so much focus, so much attention, and serving those things that we forget God. We forget the God that begot us. The God that created us, the God that formed us and everything around us. We forget him and we attach ourselves to the little g's. You know, I think when we read the Bible, we think, okay, the little g's, and we can put names on those, right? Molech, Chemosh. You know, we can attach all these names with the Greeks and the Romans and the Egyptians. And you know, we can attach all those names to those little false idols and stuff that they built up. But there's so many other things that we can serve and worship and sacrifice unto. And we forget God who sacrificed for us. Why will we worship? You know, when we start talking 2021 and staying faithful, what are we going to worship? What's going to hold our attention? What's going to hold our time? What's going to hold our sacrifices that we'll have to give up things in this life? What is going to take and have our worship in 2021. Sickness, health, death, the government, family, and et cetera, et cetera. And we could keep going right on and on. But think about that. Think about all of the decisions we had to make in 2020. And you're trying to balance it out. All right, we have God. And then we have sickness, our own personal health, our family's health. We have family members that are mad at us. We got friends that are mad at us. You know, you're worried about death. You're worried about the government. And then, you know, you start making the decisions where all of those are more important than God. What have we done? We have let these new gods that newly came up take God's place. Let us not let that happen in 2021. Let us make sure that we understand that there is God and we serve him faithfully. So sort of wrapping up, I got a couple more slides left, but starting to wrap up, getting in that phase of that. So how do we stay faithful? One thing I would say is come to worship, if at all possible. You know, when we start thinking about staying faithful, we need each other. You know, one of the things that has really popped up when it comes to, you know, students and learning, people, work, and everything is, people have found out real quick we need each other. We do. You know, loneliness does not cut it. We got to have connection. So when we're starting to talk about staying faithful, we need faithful people to encourage us to stay faithful. We do. So when it comes to worship, if it's at all possible, if you're not sick, you're not running a fever, you've got the ability to come, come. Come to worship if at all possible. No matter what it is, make sure that you put forth the effort to serve God and serve your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the two sides of worship. It's not just one-sided. And if our services need to be limited, you know, to where we cannot come like they were for a period of time in 2020, where we knew that if we take and just come on Sunday one time, we held a worship service, we fulfilled the requirements. If we are limited to just doing that once again, then give it your best, you know, chance to come and attend online with the group. You know, when we were all coming together online, you know, those that were able to get online and come online, we had like 45 minutes of lesson. But so many of us got on 45 minutes before that, and we laughed, and we cut up, and we talked, and we had a great time. And that's what we all need, because you know what? That's what we do when we come in the door 20, 30 minutes prior to the lesson starting. That's what we do. And then even when I was done, I'm like, all right, everybody, we're done. Any question, comment? No? Okay. Well, then we're good. Then we stayed on something, and sometimes it was Evan and Andy Nolan talking about this piece of equipment or whatever, but I kept it running because it was up to me to stay on. We were sometimes on there for 30, 45 minutes after, laughing and talking, and that's what we do at the end of these lessons when we're hanging around. You need that. We need those other time frames to be connected together. It keeps us faithful. You know, so lean on the faithful. You know, if you're worried about staying faithful, then lean on those that you know are faithful. Those that you know are going to do the right thing. Lean on them. You know, ask for help. Ask for encouragement. You know, look for the times to be with them. Because, you know, just like Brother James mentioned the other night, steel sharpens steel. That's what you got, those like rods. You know, you buy those kitchen knife sets and they got the metal rod and you're like, what's that for? Whacking your husband? No, you know, you take and you rub the knife across that steel rod and it realigns all the little fibers on the end of the blade back together to make a perfect cutting edge. And that's the whole point of what that is said for. Steel sharpens steel. We need each other to take and realign all of our little faults, all of our little wrongs, all of our little doubts back to that perfect sharp cutting edge to stay faithful. It helps remove doubts. We need the encouragement. And as Brother James' lesson was on Wednesday night, it takes and fortifies that hope that we all have to have in our life. Another thing I would say is study. If you're not having to drive to work, you know, if they do a full shutdown, you're doing things from home, guess what? You may have just cut 15, 20, 30 minutes, 40 minutes off your day. You know, one way, give it to the Lord. Study. Put more time into studying. Strength can be gained in the Word of God, no doubt. Strength in every aspect of our life is gained from the study of the Word of God. If you're having doubts, go to God's Word about it. If it's about sickness, go look in God's Word about sickness. Look at all the people that were healed, all those that come to the Lord, all those that asked for you know, health and wellness, they received it. Look at all of those. Do the same thing. And that's my next point. Pray, pray, and pray some more. God hears and God answers prayers. You want to stay faithful in 2021? Start praying more. Pray, pray, and pray some more. Trust that God is in control in all things. Let Him be your rock. Let Him be your strength. Let Him be your high tower. Let Him be your refuge. Put your trust that He is in control and He's going to take care of you. Rely less on mankind, and that includes yourself. it is real easy for each of us to get it within ourselves that as long as I'm in control, or that false assumption that you're in control, that everything will be fine. Then when things start getting out of control, we start falling apart. Why? Because we think we're losing control. We never were in control to begin with. We are losing our false assumption that we are in control. And then we start that downhill tumble. Rely less on mankind. You know, rely less on thinking, okay, our government will take care of this. The government will get ahead of the sickness. The government will get ahead of the money and the economy, or the police, or whatever you want to think of. Rely less on mankind and more on God. Rely on the one that is perfect, the one that does not make mistakes, that is sinless, not on those that are the dead opposite, including ourselves. Conclusion. Know that the bad always has a good ending for the faithful. You know, I'll always understand that. If you choose to not be faithful, you put yourself in a category of a group of people that does not always have a good ending. You need to realize that most times do not have a good ending. The faithful, though, even though they endure so much, have a good ending. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? All right, but if we're not with God, then we do not have that blessing of who can be against us. Nothing can come up against us as long as we're with God. But if we take ourselves away from God, we take and are no longer faithful, then who is by us? The rest of the unfaithful, the rest of the sinners, the rest of the imperfect, the rest of those that cannot protect us? I don't know about you, but I want to be with God and let Him fight for me. Let Him wrap me up and protect me. Same chapter, Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But notice, all things work together for good. But that is for a limited group, right? To those that love God and who are called according to His purpose. That's according to His work, His will, His commands, His ways. The faithful. They'll work out for good, but you got to make sure you're part of the faithful. Stay faithful. My last verse, and then we're closing. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Paul's really trying to encourage the Romans here to be faithful, and that's what we need. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, the ideal of staying faithful and that the God is with us, no one can be against us, everything will work out for good for us. So who can separate us from that? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, you know, we already read, you know, He's with those that are faithful. Who can be against us if He's with us? And then Paul makes the point, what can separate us from God, from that protection? The answer is really nothing in this world. And I always want to add in one thing at the end, though, except us. That's the only thing, and that's the point Paul's really making right here, is each and every one of us has to sit and focus on this and think, all right, I'm either going to be faithful and have this protection, or I'm going to choose to not be faithful and lose this protection. I'm going another route. I'm going away from God. But can anything step in and separate, when we're faithful, separate us from God? Nothing. No kind of flu. No kind of government, no friends, no family, no anything can separate us from God except us. We make the choice to not be faithful. 2021, stay faithful. This morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to do so, because at this moment, you are not part of the faithful. You have not become a child of God. You have not started down the path to serving him faithfully. Or maybe you have obeyed the gospel, but you turn back into the world. Take and decide this morning, I am coming back. I want that protection. I want that guidance. I want to be his. This morning, if we can help in either case, we'd be glad to, if you'll come forward as we stand and sing.
Would you live for Jesus and beyond?